Our first scripture reading for this evening is found in Matthew chapter 7. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Just a short reading there, just a few verses in Matthew 7 verse 21 through 23. That's found on page 939 in our Pew Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. We're continuing our series through the Lord's Prayer, and we have come to the petition, "Your will be done." So we're considering the will of God and how we are to acknowledge God's will and obey it as well. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7 at verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And it's particularly what we find in verse 21. "It's only those who do the will of my Father, of the Lord's, of Jesus' Father in heaven, that will enter the kingdom with our Lord." So it's doing the will of our Heavenly Father. But before we read from Ephesians and from the Catechism, let's turn again in our red Psalter hymnals to 119, number 119 from Psalm 119. And we are going to be reading or singing together rendition M. So, M, "Oh, how I love your holy law." We're going to stand together and sing 119M.
Thank you.
Let's turn together in the back of our songbooks. While they're still in your hand, we're going to be reading from the Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49, and that's found on page 895. 895 in the back of our Trinity songbooks. Lord's Day 49, you'll find it there at the bottom of the page, question and answer 124, and I will read the question and let's read the answer together. So Lord's Day 49, we're dealing with a third petition, question and answer 124, what does the third petition mean? And the answer is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone to carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. And that's as far as we're reading. Thank you for reading that together. Now let's turn in our Bibles for our text found in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be reading the first 17 verses there of Ephesians chapter 5. That's page 1136 in our pew Bibles. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, the first verses, we find the contrast between the will of man, or the life of unregenerate man, and the will of our Lord, and who we are called to imitate, who we are called to follow. Ephesians chapter 5, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And that's as far as reading here in Ephesians chapter 5. And may God add his blessing and increase to the reading and preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to consider the will of the Lord today, we are going to be considering what it means to act in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to our God. Now, before we act, before we do anything, one of the things that we must consider is this. Is our action, are our plans in accordance with the will of God? Now, in speaking of the will of God, we are not so much considering his secret, hidden will. That's sometimes what people within the church think about when they're talking about the will of God. I remember having a discussion with someone when I was in college, and their question to me was, Nick, how do I know if I should marry this person? How do I know if it is the will of God that I marry such and such a person. Now, that would be focusing on a different aspect of God's will. That would be his secret, hidden will. And we're told in Deuteronomy that the secret things belong to God. That it's not upon us to ponder, to think, to consider, is this or is this not part of God's sovereign or secret will for our lives? We simply cannot peer into these things. However, as Deuteronomy 29 continues, the revealed things belong to us and to our children. So today we are dealing with the revealed will of God. Specifically, God gives us in his word what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live. We often think when we consider our actions, at least if you're like me, whenever we consider doing something, it sometimes runs through our mind, I wonder how this action will be interpreted by this person. We sometimes go back and forth. I wonder if what this person thinks about me, if I'm acting in a way that they're agreeable to, that they like, that they appreciate. We want other people to like us. We want it to be in accordance with their will. Well, today we are going to see that the first thing we should consider as Christians is not the will of others, not our own will, but the will of our God. We saw 2 weeks ago when we looked at the coming kingdom of our God that we as members of the church make up the citizenship of the kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is only fitting for those who are citizens of the kingdom to act in a manner that is pleasing to the king. Imagine for a moment, if you jump back 500 years or so to the times of kingdoms and castles and knights, how would a king respond when he would know there is a citizen in his kingdom that not only hates him, but rebels against his wishes and his desires? What would we call that kind of person? We would call that kind of person a traitor. Someone who lives under the banner of the king, yet rebels against the will of the king, giving lip service, but secretly hating and rebelling against his rule by his actions. Well, today we are going to see that as citizens in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, it is our desire, it is our prayer that Christ by his Spirit would make us good citizens, that would remove the traitorous heart that dwells within us, so that we would know, that we would delight, that we would love and obey the will of our God. So today we're going to look at this theme, that Jesus Christ, our King, calls us to obey the will of our Father in heaven. In our first point, we're going to have 2 points of this evening. The first one is the rejection of our own will, denying what is right in our own eyes. In our second point, embracing the will of our God. So in our first point, we consider the negative aspect. When we pray this prayer, we are praying that Christ by his Spirit would help us to reject our own will. We find this in question answer 121. Help us and all people to renounce our own will. Now, when we speak of the will of God, we are speaking of what God has revealed to us, his desire for us and for our lives. We can find this in God's word. It is not secret. It is not hidden. It is clearly displayed to us. Now think for a moment of a parent who would expect their child to do something without telling their child that they should do it. What kind of a parent would it be if we would expect our children to, for example, wash the car, if we never tell the child, little one, it's time for you to wash the car? Would it be right or proper for a parent to expect their child to do something that they've never instructed them to do? No, it would not be. In fact, before there can be obedience, there needs to be instruction. So what we have in Scripture is that God is instructing us. He's giving us his revealed will. God is basically saying to us in his word, this is how I want you to live. This is what I delight in. This is what the kind of life you as my child should live and do. So the first thing we need to do is to acknowledge that the will of God is not what comes natural to us. It is not what we are born as sons and daughters of Adam, fallen into sin. It is not what we by nature will choose to do. So when we pray, "Your will be done," the first thing we are doing is we are saying, "Lord, help me to renounce, to reject, to deny what by nature comes easily, comes naturally. Dear Father, expose my treacherous actions and thoughts. Help me never to do what they did in the days of the judges, where everyone did what was right in their own eyes because there was no king." Well, congregation, there is a king. There is a king. There is a king who rules over all, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is a king in Israel. There is a king in the church. So may we never live or act as if there isn't. Help us to reject our own will. Now, what does the will of man look like? What are the natural desires of the fallen man? Well, that's why we read from Ephesians chapter 5 earlier. If you still have your Bibles open, you can just, in scanning these first verses, you can find out what the will of man is. What comes natural to man that has fallen in his sin? What do our lives look like? Well, they look like sexual immorality. They look like impurity. They look like covetousness. They look like a coarse or crude joking, these unfruitful works of darkness. That's what comes easy. That's what comes natural. We shouldn't be surprised when we see these things splashed across the front pages of news. This is who man is outside of Christ. This is natural. This is easy. We delight in things. We take pleasure in things that are contrary to God's word at the cost of purity and holiness. When given the option, man will always choose that which gives them the most enjoyment. That's the path of least resistance. But as a Christian, we know that these unfruitful works of darkness are not pleasing to the Lord. Therefore, we want them exposed, and we want them done away with. Now, denying the self is not easy. In fact, this first part of the petition is very difficult because you are praying something contrary to natural flesh. You'll remember when we were talking about the kingdom 2 weeks ago, I made reference to the fact that as kingdoms, we are knights, we are engaged, we are part of the church militant, we're engaged in battle. And the first thing, the first enemy that we have to engage with is right here, is right there. It's in our hearts, right? That's the most difficult enemy to engage with because it's with us wherever we go. The enemy within. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 16, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. If you follow after Jesus, you must learn to deny what comes natural or what is part of the fallen flesh. Now, I know as a parent, I'm pretty sure every parent here has witnessed this battle in the hearts and lives of their children. When as a parent you give an instruction to your child and you see the thought process of your child go something like this: I heard what you said, I understand what you are asking, but I don't want to. I don't have the desire to do that which you say. You may see it in their eyes or hear it with their words, this rebellious spirit. I don't want to stop playing. I don't want to do what you ask me to do because what you are asking me to do is work. It is hard. It's contrary to my nature. I want to do what is fun, what is easy, what is pleasing to the self. But not to be hard only on our children. As grown-ups, we still struggle with this, don't we? The problem is not that we don't know God's word. It's very rare that within the church sin finds its source in lack of understanding. It's not that we don't know what God's will is for our lives. We read the summary of the law every single week. And we know, if we can't come up with the Ten Commandments, I'm sure almost everyone here can come up with the summary of the law. Loving God first and foremost with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's not that we don't know what God's law is. We just don't want to do it. So we know what God's law commands, but we're stuck in this conflict. Saying no to the self is painful. It's work. So we pray, Lord, give me the strength to say no to the self, to practice self-denial, that I would not be ruled by what my emotions or my heart would say. Because we live in a world that is ruled by the self. I think at this point in history, perhaps it's even more a greater threat now than any other point in the history of the world. We are ruled by the self. It used to be that we thought of our communities, what would be good for the community, or we had this patriotic sense, what's good for the country. But those things have been thrown, cast aside, and now the man, the individual, reigns supreme. If my actions are detrimental to others, it doesn't matter because I am my own king. This is my kingdom. I am the standard for what is right and what is wrong. It's called relativism. And that's why, just for a few examples, when you talk to somebody, you'll ask someone about their living arrangements. Why are you living with someone you're not married to? Because it feels right. I enjoy it. Why are you having premarital sex? Because it feels good. The right and wrong standard is not based on the scriptures. It's based on how I feel. We can say the same thing when it comes to even the different troubles and false teachings in the church. When it comes to the view of homosexuality as a sin, well, that doesn't seem very nice to call people's actions sinful. So we use our emotions as a standard for what is right and wrong. The standard for truth has been reduced to personal feelings. So we need to pray. Lord, help me to no longer be led by my own ideas. Help me to acknowledge that what comes naturally to man is opposed to what you have revealed in your word. Help me to acknowledge the consequences of living by human standards. Why is it necessary to deny, to denounce our own will? Well, what does the will of man lead to? What is doing right in your own eyes? What is the bitter fruit? What are the consequences? Doing right in your own eyes is to see the fruit. Although you know God said, don't eat that. You see the fruit and you say, I remember what God says. I know what God's will is, but I want to do it. I'm going to act in a way contrary to the revealed will, which has brought death. In fact, the natural will of man is towards sin, and the sinful inclinations of the heart lead to death. In general, it leads to a life of chaos, hatred towards God, and idolatry when it comes to serving false gods as well. In general, man's desire leads to things like murder, leads to things like abortion. It leads to things like theft, manipulation, abuse. These things are the outflowing of what comes natural and easy to fallen man. And this is what we fight against. So we pray, as the Catechism states here, help us and all men. It's a communal prayer. Help me individually, corporately, as a family, and as a church and community as well. Help us to start living the path of denial. Help us to no longer follow what comes easy, what comes naturally, the broad path, because we know where the broad path leads. It's easy, but it leads to hell. Help us to do what is contrary to the natural man. In fact, behind this petition is a prayer for change. How can we, as fallen men, do what is contrary to our fallen nature? Why, how is this possible for fallen people to not be led by their emotions and feelings? It's a prayer for a changed heart. Lord, help me to acknowledge that my way is not right. Lord, give me a heart, a will that is conformed, that is changed, that is renewed, that is in the image of Christ. And that's what we find in Ephesians 5, isn't it? You are dearly loved children. You have been changed. You were, as verse 8 says, once in darkness, but now you are in light. The will of man is no longer your master. The sinful flesh is no longer your commander. You once used to live that way, but not anymore. So we pray that by the strength of the Spirit, that we would learn to acknowledge that our own ways are bad. They don't lead to blessings. Enable me to give up any desire, any want that is not in obedience with your will. But there is a second aspect, not only in denying the negative aspect in the first point, but the positive, embracing what God says in his word. After we apply the cross to our lives, we have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, we no longer live. The old man is dead. He doesn't rule over us. We're not slaves to the old man anymore. We follow Christ to the grave and we come out with Christ resurrected and we put on the new life. We put on Christ and we say, we pray as Psalm 40 says, give me a new heart so that I desire to do your will, O God, your law is written within my heart. So it starts with knowing the will of God. As children of the light, we are people of the word. Now, I know that we're all busy here. We all have busy schedules. We all have responsibilities. Some of us wake up very early in the morning. Some of us are up late into the night. Some of us have two part-time jobs and kids at home. And we're busy people. But as children of the light, we must be, first and foremost, people of the Word. If we acknowledge the kingship of God over our lives, His Word, His law, His revealed will to us is something we want to know. So we commit ourselves, Lord, give me the desire so that I hunger and thirst for the things of your word. That I want to know your will better. That I delight in reading your word. That I delight in reading your scripture. And give me a heart of wisdom so that I would discern what is pleasing to you. Listen to what Ephesians 5 verse 10 says. We read this a few minutes ago. So that we might, for the fruit of light, this is verse 9, the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. We find the same thing in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Try to discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, acceptable, and perfect. So we move beyond, we mature beyond simply knowing God's will to discerning what is pleasing to God. We delight in applying Scripture to our lives and applying it to our actions, applying it to how we live. So we know it, we internalize it, it's written upon our heart. We apply it to our lives. We are seriously seeking to live in a way that is pleasing to God. And by the way, we can do this, right? The Catechism says we can begin to keep not only some, but all of God's commandments. We can, by the strength of the Spirit, grow in holiness and obedience. We do begin to keep God's word. So we move to knowing, delighting, discerning, and finally obeying. Earlier in Matthew 7, there is a contrast given where Jesus says on the day of judgment, there are people who come before him and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these miracles in your name? Didn't we cast out demons?" And the Lord is going to say, "I never knew you." Why does the Lord cast them out? It's because they didn't love him and they didn't obey his will. If you want to go to heaven, then you need to be living a life that reflects who you are. To be clear, your obedience does not earn merit or purchase your entrance into heaven. But it is also equally true that if you love him, you will obey his commandments. Those who seek to do good works, who live in accordance with the will of God, if back in Matthew 7, it says, "The one who does the will of my Father in heaven." So to say this another way, talk is cheap. It's easy to say something. It's easy to say, it's easy to sing, "Oh, how I love your law." But your actions prove that love. Confessions can be coerced. The fact remains that your actions cannot deny what lives what's within you. Your actions prove what lives in your heart, just as the good fruit proves that the tree has been made good. So if we are joined to Christ in faith, in this petition we are praying, "Lord, give me a delight in your law so that I might know it, that I might internalize it, that I might apply it, that I might even obey it." Not perfectly, but really and truly progressing in obedience. There is a large step between knowing and obeying, and there is a large step between obeying and obeying rightly. As our catechism concludes, it's in the first section here, it says, "Help us not only to renounce our own will, but without any back talk, to obey your will, for your will alone is good. Help everyone to carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully," or cheerfully, "as the angels do in heaven." So we are called to not only obey, but to obey rightly, to obey cheerfully, to obey without grumbling or without any backtalk. Once again, let me start with our children. To obey without any backtalk, grumbling, arguing, but to be cheerful in obedience. As Psalm 1 verse 2 says, "I delight in the law of the Lord." I remember a story children told to me many years ago. The story was about a young man who was instructed by his mother, "Little one, sit down and eat your vegetables." The little one was gotten up and started to play. The mother said, "Little one, sit down and eat your vegetables." The little one finally acquiesced, finally sat down and began to eat his vegetables. But he looked at his mom, says, "Mom, I may be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I want you to know I'm still up and playing." This proves the rebellious heart of man. Although we may be forced to obey because we're fearful of the consequences, the catechism is driving at the heart the desire that we should have in obeying is not just obeying because we don't want to anger a wrathful God, but it's a motivated by a love that delights, a cheerful obedience. But again, I don't want to just pick on our kids. This is something we all struggle with, isn't it? Cheerful obedience without any backtalk. Obeying God's law when it says, for example, when someone sins against you and they ask for forgiveness, it was a few weeks back, you're to forgive them. How many times? 7 times a day, or 77 times 7. Someone sins against you, you forgive them. Why? because you know God's law, you delight in God's law, and you want to obey God's law as a child of God. Another example, when it comes to being content with what you have, it's awfully hard not to grumble because you want something and you complain and you know that you're supposed to be content. Content with your finances or happy with whatever the Lord has given to you. To live without any backtalk, to obey without any backtalk, that's hard. That's a hard thing to do. But that's, once again, why we're praying. Prayer is acknowledging how contrary to human nature it is. So we pray, Lord, help me to obey willingly, cheerfully, as cheerful and obedient as the angels do in heaven. Because we know that because it is the will of our God, it must necessarily be for our good and for God's glory. That's what we're asking for. Willing, cheerful obedience when we pray, your will be done. To conclude, the will of God is not something secret and hidden that we need to search for. It's clearly been revealed to us. We can know God's will, and in fact, Jesus Christ has inscribed it on our hearts. So we hold this will. We hold it in great esteem. The will of God is something we delight in, something we meditate upon, something we seek to live and obey. Because we want to be faithful, law-abiding residents and citizens of the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. So today we've seen Jesus Christ calls us to obey the will of our Father in heaven. So we pray, Lord, teach me to deny, renounce whatever comes natural to the human flesh, whatever comes natural to fallen man. Help me to put those things away, to crucify them, to follow you to Calvary, dead and buried, no longer ruling my life because you have put them to death. And help me to grow in obedience, to be resurrected to a new life as sons and daughters of the living God because we're no longer in darkness. Now we are in light. So therefore, live as children of light, doing that which pleases the Lord, because we love him with all of our heart. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the law that you have given to us. We delight in the fact that your law is good and perfect. It is our desire. May we grow in obedience. May your will be to us a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path. May we desire to grow in holiness, and may we live such decent, chaste, and holy lives that you say to us, well done, good and faithful servants, because that's who we are. We have been ransomed and redeemed by Jesus Christ. We have been made children. So, O Lord, by the strength of your Spirit, help us to walk and live as children of light, for that is what we are through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.